This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow the Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome to opening day, Eve. That's right. Evan and Tiki on The Fan. There is a lot to discuss today. We will explain why the New York Giants' chances of trading for and drafting Cam Ward actually grew over the last 24 hours. Brandon Nimmo declares war on the New York Yankees. And what did we initially think of the idea of Austin Wells leading off, knowing that we know Austin Wells will be leading off? So we got a lot to get to. We'll talk to you throughout the day at 888-808-1019. Let me just get this off my chest. We don't have to talk about it. I just want it out there in the ethers. The New York Islanders got screwed last night. Okay? We all know it. That's what happened. They got hosed out of a point. The officials suck. Toronto sucks. The Islanders got screwed. Now let's move on. Yankee fans, I think Tiki and I are here to help you. Because I have noticed something over the last few days and last few weeks. I've noticed it from Sean Morash. Mm-hmm. I've noticed it from the ticket resale market for Yankees opening day. I've noticed it from traversing social media. The New York Yankee fan is down. The New York Yankee fan doesn't have a lot of confidence. Mm-hmm. The New York Yankee fan is almost bemoaning the start of this season. And I am here to tell you, and I think Tiki's with me on this. Mm-hmm. Let's discuss. I think the Yankees are going to win the American League East. And despite all of these negatives that have crept up over the last few months, we are here to defuse any idea that somehow this is going to be a lost season for the New York Yankees. I do not buy it, Tiki Barber.
No, it is not going to be a lost season because the Yankees, that doesn't happen. It happened one time, 2 years ago. It doesn't happen regularly. So don't expect that. But I do think, and we've talked about this a couple of times before, Evan, the American League is very mediocre to slightly above average. Mm-hmm. That feels like almost every one of the top teams in the divisions in the American League. And the Yankees are one of those. And look, the Yankees have the MVP and Judge, and they have a pretty good rotation. They got some young players that you're counting on. But when you look at every team, and especially the Yankees for us right now in New York City, there is just something that gives you angst. And it's not like you're worried about injuries, even though injuries have already taken their toll. You just don't know. You don't know whether these guys that you're going to going to count on Cabrera or Dominguez or Clark Schmidt, whoever it may be. You don't know if they're going to perform. I think last season it felt like, man, I know Gerrit Cole is going to be good. Even though he was hurt at the beginning of the season, he came back and he was good. I know Judge is going to be good. I know that Soto is going to be good. I know that Volpe's going to do his part. I know that Giancarlo Stanton, he's going to go be out for a couple of weeks, but he's going to come back and he's going to do his part. You're just missing so many pieces. You know they're going to be good, but you don't think they're going to be great. That's what makes this, well, the beginning of this season feel trepidatious.
But here's the best part. In March and April and May, you don't need to be great. Okay? You don't need to be great. Here's when you need to be great. You need to be good enough to qualify for the postseason, which I strongly believe the New York Yankees will. And then, yeah, you need to be great in October. I can promise you that this roster is going to look different by the time we get to October. So really, this is about getting off to a decent start to good start and making the postseason.
Yeah, but nobody wants to hear that.
Well, that's the reality. They may not want to hear it. I'm going to tell you anyway.
You know how fans are. Fans want it to be easy.
But it's not going
to
be easy.
They want it, the path to be grooved. It's you're going to get there seamlessly. Once we get to the postseason, that's when we'll kick it in, and that's when we'll turn it up, and that's when we'll get back to the World Series, and that's when we'll win. But it's honestly never like that, even for the good teams.
Right.
Look at the Dodgers last year. I mean, it felt easy to them, but look what they navigated once the postseason started.
They dealt with a lot of injuries.
Ton of injuries. The Padres gave them all they could handle, and then they got to the World Series, and while it feels like they gentlemanly swept the Yankees, all those games were games.
Well, that's why it's not going to be easy. I'm not sitting here on March 25th telling you the Yankees are going to run away with the American League East. But I can argue with any Yankee fan who wants to be negative on this Tuesday on why you're equipped to win this division despite all the negatives that are in your way. And let me start off with the loss of Juan Soto. Let's just address it right away. It sucks that the Yankees lost a bat like that. But here's the way I view the loss of Juan Soto and the replacement of Anthony Rizzo. The Yankees lost Juan Soto. They lost their first baseman, whoever the hell you want to call their first baseman from last year, because Anthony Rizzo played half the year, but whoever played first base did not produce. They brought in a first baseman in Paul Goldschmidt, who is coming off a down year, I admit that, and they brought in Cody Bellinger. In my humble opinion, those two guys are essentially your offensive replacements for Juan Soto and Anthony Rizzo. And when you frame it as replacing Juan Soto, it's clearly impossible. I don't think anybody is going to hit 41 home runs and have a 989 OPS and get on base the way Juan Soto did. But let me make it a little bit less crazy for you, less daunting for you. If you take the Yankee production at first base last year, which I'll give you the numbers, it's going to make you sick or maybe make you happy because you know what you're going to get this year will be better than this. They got a combined batting average at first base of 206. They got a combined OPS at first base of 595. They got 17 home runs the entire season out of the first base position. Now, we know what right field produced. We know what Juan Soto produced, 41 home runs at 990 OPS. But if you combine those two things and you look at about a 780 OPS and 58 home runs and 190 RBIs, I ask you guys, you don't think Cody Bellinger and Paul Goldschmidt can match those numbers?
Yeah.
The answer is yes. If you frame it as just Juan Soto, it will depress you. If you frame it as, we're not just replacing Juan Soto, which sucks, but we're actually going to put a real human being that can play baseball at first base, I'd argue the Yankees got better. And remember, the Yankees scored enough runs last year. They scored 5 runs per game. If they do that again, they're making the playoffs. If they do that again, they're winning the American League East. So let's start right there, because the Soto thing is obviously huge. It stinks you lost him.
Yep.
Cody isn't as good. Goldie isn't as good. But you can bet your ass they're better than the corpses you played at first base last year. So the Yankee offense, when you look at right field and first base, actually got better. Does that make you feel better, Sean, like a little bit?
No, I think you're cherry picking a little bit.
What about cherry picking?
I'm going to put it in this blanket statement. And again, I've gotten more optimistic in the last two weeks than where I felt like they were left for dead. But again, I present you, what made this Yankee team special when we last saw them, those three best hitters at the time are no longer here. It's not just Soto. Stanton, do we have any idea if he's going to play this year? And like him or hate him, I was more in the defense of him, but I understand Gleyber got red hot in that leadoff role, and they didn't replace, they still barely have a leadoff hitter, which we'll get to later. all three of those bats missing from a team, when you looked, when we last saw this team were their three best bats, it's hard for fans to wrap their head around.
Yeah, but how can you not like Austin Wells in the leadoff spot? I know it's very non-traditional. Catchers do not lead off in Major League Baseball. You just don't see it. And they don't always play every day. So then you're going to create some void that someone's going to have to fill, Volpe or Jazz or whoever. Probably actually Goldschmidt is what Aaron Boone said. But I'm not nervous about the hitters. I'm nervous more about everyone being excellent all the time.
That's
what the Yankees had last year with Juan Soto and Aaron Judge and even some of these other guys as well, especially Stanton once he got healthy. They don't have that now.
Well, but wait a second. Here's where I disagree. If you look at last year, and again, the Yankees scored enough runs to make the playoffs last year, and if they replicate that this year, that's a victory, right? They scored as many runs as anybody in baseball last year.
Yes,
they scored five runs per game. Let's be honest on how they got there. They got there with two players. They got there with Aaron Judge and Juan Soto.
Correct.
The rest of the lineup left a lot to be desired. I'm arguing to you, the rest of the lineup got better. Paul Goldschmidt, by accident, even if you're not as optimistic as I am about a bounce-back season, by accident produces more than what they got out of first base last year. You're all are depressed about third base. Let's be honest. You didn't get any production out of third base last year either till Jazz Chisholm came.
Yeah.
Oswaldo Cabrera started 109 games out of 650 OPS. The hope is, as Oswaldo gets older and Oswald Peraza and maybe an acquisition we don't see coming, the production out of third base is going to be better. Let's get to left field. I know the defense concerns people, but also by accident. Jason Dominguez should produce more than Alex Verdugo.
Might be the key to the whole season.
It may be. Number three, let's get to shortstop. Maybe Anthony Volpe is what he is. And if that's the case, all right, it's a wash. He does the same thing. Or at 24 years old, in year three, he takes a step. The rest of the Yankee lineup, outside of losing Soto, which is a major blow, got better. Where am I wrong? Where are we wrong on that?
It just still sounds like a lot of ifs. Here's the other thing, Evan.
Every team has ifs.
I understand the numbers.
You think the Orioles have ifs? You think Jackson Holiday doesn't have a big fat if all over his face right now?
But that was my big point about the rest of the American League. Everybody's in the same spot.
Yeah.
The Yankees just are a little bit better. You ask me what I think they are, they're in a slightly above average, maybe an above average team that needs a lot of these young players to really step up and become not superstars, but stars. And if they don't, they're just going to be in the mix with everybody else.
Yeah. It also feels like, and I don't want to be negative about him because I got to see him every day here to love him. You're putting a lot of faith in stock that Paul Goldschmidt is going to continue to produce just because he's, you know, Anthony Rizzo. It's a guy on a one-year deal at the end of his career here.
Sean, Paul Goldschmidt had a terrible year last year, agreed?
Yes.
Horrible year, right?
But it was better than Rizzo. Yes, I understand.
Yeah, that's exactly where I was leading you. It's like you know me by now.
But
if he gave you the production of last year, it's still a major upgrade over the crap you got from Rizzo.
Yeah, okay. If you're looking at first base for first base in a vacuum, no doubt about it. But I'm sorry, what the Yankees are going to count on Paul Goldschmidt, whether he's platooning and hitting leadoff or in cleanup, he's going to have to give you a little more, bro. He's going to be a really important bat for this team, and that's asking a lot at his age, also to stay healthy himself, get through everything. That's a lot of ifs, ifs, ifs. Usually teams built on ifs flop flat on their face.
I'll give you a guy that I don't think is an if. Last year, the New York Yankees made a trade for Jazz Chisholm.
Yeah.
You may recall.
Oh, yeah.
He played 46 games. So if you really want to do the math on what that would be over a full season, basically you times it by about 3.5. In the 46 games, he had 11 home runs, drove in 23 runs, and had an 825 OPS and stole 18 bases. Can I do some math for you? If you equate that over a full season, you're talking about a 38 home run, 60 stolen base season. Now, I don't even know if Jazz can do that, obviously, but I always believed if Jazz Chisholm came to New York, you can unlock him. In the 46 games he played after the trade, he was unlocked.
Mm-hmm.
If he continues to produce like that, that far outweighs Gleyber Torres, and that gives you another good stick in the middle of your lineup.
You're not going to sell me on Jazz. That's currently my favorite Yankee, and I'm a Jazz stan. That Jazz and Judge are the only two I fully trust on this team right now.
Not Volpe yet?
Well, look, I said this at the beginning of the year, It feels like it's already been that long of spring training.
Right.
I wanted Volpe to come out, seize the moment in spring training, and absolutely own the leadoff role. It feels like he never really got a chance to do the leadoff spot. You know, he's been ho-hum fine this spring. I don't know. It feels like we're waiting and waiting and waiting, and maybe that Volpe jump is not going to happen.
That's exactly how I feel about the whole team. It's like you're waiting and waiting and waiting. Something big is going to happen, and it doesn't.
In many ways, Volpe kind of feels like the team.
Yeah.
In a weird way.
I disagree with that. Like, you're asking veteran players to replace the production of last year, and if you do it, they score five runs a game and they make the playoffs. The Soto thing is like this big flashing light, so it's tough to think of replacing him. But you're replacing Alex Verdugo. I think Dominguez and the Yankees can do that. You're replacing...
No, you hope Dominguez can do that.
I feel decent about that. Even if Dominguez isn't great, I think he replaces Verdugo's numbers.
Evan, think about that.
Verdugo's numbers weren't any good last year.
No, okay, right. So you've hit on Goldschmidt. You've hit on Dominguez. You brought up Volpe. You brought up Wells and Lito for... You know, you're at the slot machine spinning for these 3-7s. You honestly think every single one of these things is going to come to fruition?
No, but I don't think you're asking for that much. Let me go back to left field because you brought this up. Or I brought it up and you countered with, hey, what is Dominguez going to do? I want you to remember what the bar is for left field. Left field last year produced a .233 average with 13 home runs and a .650 OPS. You think Dominguez does that, Teak?
I mean, I hope he does.
It's not asking a lot.
No, you're right. It's not.
That's my point. Like, you're not asking Dominguez to be a superstar. You're saying just to replicate last year, right? Because that's the goal. If they score 5 runs a game, that'll be good enough. Just replicate the totality of offensive numbers the Yankees put up last year, and they're going to make the playoffs. Well, the production out of left field was that garbage I just repeated.
Yeah. And
Jason Dominguez does that by accident.
You hope he does that by accident.
He better. I'm not asking him to be a star. 230? 650 OPS? What are we talking about here?
There's just not a ton of major league experience. The 1 year. Yeah, he did. What he did in 2023, when he was only here for, 20 games? No, 8 games. That would say, yes, he's better than Verdugo was in left field. But that was 8 games. It's a grind.
I agree.
154 more.
We don't know what Dominguez is. I'm merely placing the bet. Sean, you said you're putting a lot of chips out there.
Yeah.
I'm betting that Dominguez produces better than .233 and a .650 OPS. And if you guys want to bet against me and Dominguez on that, I will gladly take that bet. You don't think he's producing a .650 OPS?
I mean...
Shake my hand.
All I know is that last year, he hit .180.
He played 18 games.
I agree.
Come on.
But you also can't look at 2023 and say, well, he's ready for it.
I'm merely saying.
So you just don't know.
I'm saying he's going to produce more than the garbage you got out of left field. I'm saying that Goldie's going to produce more than the garbage you got out of first base. I'm saying Jazz Chisholm will clearly produce more than what you got out of third base. Or if you want to pick Gleyber Torres, the production you got out of Gleyber Torres. The Yankee offense should be better than maybe we're giving them credit for. And then let's get to the pitching. The American League East, that great division that they're in.
By the way, conveniently skipped DH with Stanton, too.
Well, what did Stanton do last year? You want to go through that?
Season? Yeah. Not a ton.
Okay.
But in the postseason, we knew what we were waiting
for. We're not talking about the playoffs, though.
I understand that, but we knew what we were waiting for, and you just come to accept what Giancarlo Stanton's going to be in the regular season.
So why are we assuming he won't be in the playoffs this year? That's in 6 months.
Okay, but when he picks up, when's he picking up a bat again?
But I'm arguing.
When's he going under the knife again? I mean, I have no idea what the prognosis is for Giancarlo Stanton.
I agree. That's why I'm not relying on him, but I'm talking about the regular season because that's the ultimate goal. Just make the playoffs, win the division, get to the postseason. The production out of DH last year, they got a lot of home runs out of Giancarlo. They also didn't get a lot of other great numbers out of him. So I don't think replacing that is that daunting either. I have to be honest with you.
So just to be clear.
So who's it going to be?
Overall at DH?
Yes.
It's a great question. I think Ben Rice is going to get an opportunity to do it. I think Trent Grisham, not DHing, but replacing those numbers by, let's say, playing center field and kind of moving your defense around will be able to do that. Mm-hmm. I think Goldie's going to DH a lot.
You know what it sounds like as you're going through all of this?
Good.
A lot of managing.
Okay.
A lot
of
managing.
And you don't trust Booney?
I'm just saying, it's a lot of managing.
Okay. What's wrong with that?
Nothing.
I mean, it's not like the Yankees win.
I'm not declaring or proclaiming anything. I'm just saying it's a lot of management.
It is.
I do think, Evan, this is where I think the Yankee fan listening has to understand where you're coming from because maybe I'm misinterpreting
it. Also,
too.
I'm wearing a Met shirt, so that's going to bother people that I'm calming you all down, giving you back massages while wearing my beautiful Met golf shirt.
I think the majority of Yankee negativity and some of the things that Tiki and I have hit on centers around, fair or unfairly, the end goal. This is a team that just went to the World Series and lost.
Yeah.
And when we're talking about October and everything, I understand that you can't count on October and March and April, but a lot of the negativity is just about getting back to the World Series. Now, if you're just painting the picture, look what you're going to replace, and this team could fight and make the playoffs, I think unanimously everybody can come together and go, okay, if
100%.
These things hit, that.
100%.
But the Yankee negativity comes with, are they going to be good enough to get through the American League,
the team
not just make the playoffs?
It doesn't feel better on paper than it was a year
it
ago.
It doesn't have...
It went to the World Series. And to Sean's point, when you look at the rest of the American League, every team is in the exact same spot.
I'm with you.
And I think the Yankee does fan does not want to just be everybody, does not want to be in the mean. They want to be above the mean.
If your concern as a Met fan or a Yankee fan on March 25th is, I don't think this roster is good enough to get through a best of five or a best of seven, your brain thinking on this is completely flawed because it's just not the right way to look at it. I think the way you have to look at a baseball season as it's about to begin is, can you make the playoffs?
Yes.
If the answer is yes, then you got a chance to win a championship. Then you have a chance to win a championship.
Okay.
And that's really all that matters.
Fantastic. But you're not going in expecting that with the way this roster is right now. Because you just don't know what you're getting from Jason Dominguez. You don't know what you're getting from Austin Wells leading off. You don't know where Volpe, is he evolving, becoming more of a star? We don't know if Aaron Judge is going to stay healthy. We don't know if Paul Goldschmidt at 37 years old is going to be that plus replacement at first base that you keep talking about. You just don't know. Right, last year you felt like you knew what you were getting. You knew what you were getting from Garrett Cole. You knew what you were getting from Juan Soto. You knew what you were getting from Aaron Judge. Right, you knew what you were getting from Giancarlo Stanton when he was healthy. You don't have that right now.
I kind of disagree that a lot of those things that we didn't know now, we didn't know last year. Like, did we know what we were getting out of Anthony Rizzo? Did we know what we were getting out of third base? Did we know what we were getting out of catcher with Austin Wells eventually taking the job?
No.
Did we know what we were getting from even Alex Verdugo?
No.
Who was a nice little acquisition. No. So I'd actually disagree that the questions were almost as big last year. And as far as Garrett Cole's concerned, you're right. It sucks he's not there.
Yeah, but last year, we know what happened.
So what does that mean? I'm talking about how we felt going into the season.
And we also entered with the Robin to Batman by having Juan Soto. Yeah. Every Yankee season, if you're a Yankee fan, begins with this question on opening day eve. When you look at the roster, can you see this team in a World Series? And it's not.
Yes.
And it's separate from the World Series or bust.
Sean,
you are not presenting it as, look at all these ifs. If you make the playoffs, you have a chance. That is much different than simply a yes or no.
Sean.
And I think for the majority of people, man, it's going to take a lot. I don't think that this team is good enough to make a World Series.
First of all, the Yankees are going to make the playoffs. I didn't give you an if. I feel pretty strongly about that. I said that to you last year, they were going to win the division. Turned out to be right. Mm-hmm. I'm going to double down and say they're going to do that again. Now, I don't think it's going to be easy. I don't think they're going to run away with it. I don't think I'm going to prance my way to October and say, see, I told you guys that was easy. I think it's going to be a fight. I think it's going to be a war. And I don't think it's just going to be with one other team. I think the Orioles are going to be right there. I'll take my slings and arrows for saying this. I think the Blue Jays are going to be right there. I think they're a lot better than people think. I think the Red Sox will be right there. But ultimately, I think the Yankees are equipped, despite all of these injuries, to be the team that's left standing winning the American League East. And once you get to the playoffs, can I see them getting to a World Series? Can I see them getting to a World Series? Yeah. I'll fight anybody on that. And I'm not a Yankee fan. I'm not trying to blow smoke up your ass. I'm calling it like it is. They're that good. Who's the most reliable pitcher right now in the American League East? You have to pick one.
Garrett,
I trust that guy. Shut up. You can't believe that.
I
apologize for saying shut up. I shouldn't have said that.
No,
I'm working on my language.
I say shut up to you all the time.
Garrett Crochet.
I would take Garrett Crochet over Max Fried in a heartbeat right now.
He's had one season as a starter, and they took him out after two or three innings the final 2 months of the year. Spare me that. It's not Garrett Crochet. You're projecting that you think he's going to be great. He's not the most reliable. That is so disrespectful to what Max Fried's accomplished in his career that you're going to take that guy who's never pitched a full season, a real full season, and say, I trust him more? BS.
Evan.
Try again.
If you were a Met fan today and you were said you could trade peanuts and you could have either Max Fried or Garrett Crochet, you're taking Max Fried?
That's not the question.
No, that's the question I'm presenting you because that's exactly what I'm saying. That is who I would rather have right now in the AL East.
I said, who's the most reliable starter in the American League?
Well, that's a funny way to couch it. Isn't it?
It's not. He's accomplished something, Max Fried. Who is it? Is it Jose Barrios? Maybe it's him.
Okay.
Is it Tanner Houck? Maybe it's him. Is it Shane McClanahan? Oh, wait. He's hurt again.
Just to be clear.
Is it him?
When it comes to the Yankee lineup, you want to present us with Dominguez and things of what you think they're about to become. But when I throw about the best pitcher in the American League East, we're not allowed to project that what we think Garrett Crochet is about to become is what you'd rather have than Max Fried.
Well, if I frame the question, who do you think will turn out to be the best pitcher?
Sure, okay, exactly. Gotcha.
It's going to be your cast-off, Max Scherzer.
My point is Max Fried is very reliable. Despite having stints on the injured list, like if you go through the American League East, Lugie's all over fantasy. Right now, look at the American League East. Toronto, Boston, Baltimore, Yankees, Tampa. Give me, like, the starting pitchers you look at and say, oh, yeah, I trust him. Not high upside, just I trust that guy. I know he's going to give me 28 starts. I know he's going to be effective. Who would you trust the most of any starting pitcher in the American League East?
That would be one Mr. Maxwell Jacob Friedman Fried.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
And he's not saying that because he's my puppet. Tommy will disagree with me at the first opportunity.
No, I mean, Fried's got the goods. He's not as good as Clay Holmes, but he's got the goods. Clay Holmes is in the NL East. If he had asked me baseball, I would have said Holmes. But AL East, Crochet is still... He pitched 3 innings a game last year for the White Sox.
They don't understand that.
And who's the other guy you said? Hawk Tua? Who was the other guy? I never even heard of that guy.
No, Garrett Crochet, if he was here, like if the Yankees or Mets got him, here's what we would say. Here's what Tiki would have said, because you would have done a deep dive. You would have said, listen, he's got great stuff, but the guy hasn't done anything yet. They took him out after 3 innings in the middle of August.
Right.
I mean, how can I trust that this guy's going to be any good? But we'll get to your calls next. Obviously, you can hear some of the negativity that some Yankee fans have. I'm not trying to blow smoke. I'm not trying to be nice. I'm not trying to be pro-Yankees. I'm calling it like it is. I think the New York Yankees are winning the American League East, despite all the questions and despite all the flaws that you think they have. 888-808-1019. We're live from the Town Fair Tire Studios, powered by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Also, earlier today, Aaron Boone officially announced that Austin Wells will be the leadoff hitter. When we first brought up the name, Austin Wells as a leadoff hitter 2 months ago, how did we react? We'll take a listen on a little WFAN flashback and, of course, get to your calls. Coming up in a few minutes, we heard that Austin Wells will indeed be the leadoff hitter for the New York Yankees on opening day, becoming the first catcher to ever lead off for the Yankees in a game. We'll flash back to about a month and a half ago when we approached this idea for the first time and see what our reactions initially were to this out-of-the-box idea. But Yankee fans, I'm sensing negativity. I'm sensing a lack of optimism. I'm here to tell you, you guys will win the American League East. I believe it. If you've missed the open, you could go back and take a listen. The toll-free number is 888-808-1019. Frankie is calling from Bay Ridge. Good afternoon, Frankie.
What's up, boys?
What's happening?
What's up?
All right, all right. Tiki and Loogie, you guys are making my stomach turn. And Evan, you're 100% right. Like, you're listening to, okay, listening to Loogie, it's almost as if we're replacing Ricky Henderson leading off. Right? That's the way he's speaking of Gleyber Torres, who had 3 weeks. All right, calm down. Okay, good 3 weeks. Then we have to replace a prime David Justice when he's not playing right, he's playing left. Okay.
Verdugo,
he's horrible. Every at bat was a ground ball to second base if he made contact. Okay? So you guys are saying that's why, as a Yankee fan, okay, putting Austin Wells in this, okay, at the top of the lineup to lead off, I have to be worried that his production is not going to be better than Gleyber.
And just for the record, Frankie, Gleyber Torres, who did take over that leadoff role, here are his final numbers from last year that Loogie kept putting over like Ricky Henderson.
I can't believe Loogie behaved like that.
I know. Yeah, that Yankee fan Tommy Lugauer. It shows you, we've been on the air for almost 2 years, and people still can't tell the difference between Loogie and Morash. So it was Morash who said that, so Loogie, you're in the clear. But last year, Gleyber Torres hit .257. He had a .708 OPS, and he had 15 home runs. Pipe down. I mean, seriously. Oh, my God. How are we going to replace that? I don't know. Jazz Chisholm basically produced that in 40 games. How can we produce that?
Chisholm!
While Jazz was playing third base, another position we have not filled.
But he's going to play second base. So he's replacing Gleyber Torres, and your third base production sucked last year anyway. So even if it's the same, you've already upgraded at second. That was like my point about left field.
Yeah, but they had to upgrade at third when they got Jazz.
How are they talking about this comparison to last year?
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that it's going to be above average.
Last year, the Yankees scored more runs than any team in the American League.
I understand that.
If they replicate that, we'd all agree they're making the playoffs. You can lock that one away.
Absolutely.
So go replicate it, and I think they're capable of it despite losing Juan Soto because they upgraded in so many other areas that people aren't appreciating.
No, you might look, at the end of the day, you could be 100% right. I'm just saying it doesn't feel comfortable or you're confident in that happening. Because there's so many guys that you just don't know the outcomes of what the season's going to look like. You just don't know.
I think you can say that about a lot of different teams and a lot of different players coming into a season.
Which is why I still think the Yankees are making the postseason.
They are winning the American League East. And if you don't think it's the New York Yankees, and you're going to call up today and complain, then just tell me who you think it is.
The Red Sox.
Oh, the Red, of course. I mean, God. How can you not beat the Boston Red Sox?
I hate the Red Sox.
They're so loaded,
they're a
right?
better team right now.
Oh, stop. What makes them so much better?
Number one?
Because of Garrett Crochet, who's never pitched a full season as a real starter? Is that what scares
their
you?
Their number two starter is the guy who ended our season last year. Okay.
Walker Buehler?
Walker Buehler.
Yeah, let's see what he does in a full season.
Bregman kills us. Devers kills us.
Devers
Jaron
kills Garrett
Duran
Cole.
Last year
Hold on.
Kills us.
One at a time. Devers kills Garrett Cole, and Garrett Cole's away. Daddy left. Or no, Daddy's still there, but the son left. So Rafael Devers, you're already ahead of the eight ball because Garrett Cole can't give up 3-run home runs to him.
Oh, so now it's a positive we don't have Cole. Okay.
When it comes to facing Devers, it is, yes. Let's go to Eric in Rivervale. What's up, Eric?
Evan, Tiki, what's happening, boys? How we doing?
All's good.
What's up, man?
Oh, man, this is a tremendous conversation. And, man, it's refreshing, Evan, to have you on the dark side here with the Yankees and defending us. And I got to listen to Morash over there crying in his Cheerios because we don't have Soto. We don't have, you know, Garrett Cole, and that the season's over already before it even started. And I understand some of the apprehension. I mean, obviously, I have some concerns as a Yankee fan right now because there are so many question marks. But I think, to me, like the two biggest question marks right now and musts, as far as improvement, have to be Volpe and Dominguez. I mean, those two have to develop into the players that we expect them to be. And I understand the concern there, because as Yankee fans, when was the last time we developed anybody?
Last year with Austin Wells. So not that long.
Well, fair, considering the last 2 weeks of his spring training year, he's batting, what, about .390 with...
I'm not talking about just spring training. I'm talking about, see, you said something, Eric, and while I appreciate you saying, oh, thanks, Evan, for defending the Yankees, I'm not here to defend anybody. I'm here to tell you how I feel. And I'm getting sick and tired of Yankee fans saying they haven't developed anybody when last year you had two guys finishing the top three of Rookie of the Year. Does that count as developing somebody, or is that disqualified?
No, that absolutely counts as developing.
So if you
it's a narrative that people can't stop saying.
Well, I'm going to respond to it then.
You should. You should set them correct.
I got to set
just
it correct.
Just like the one I brought up yesterday. Yankees never lose free agents that they don't want to lose.
Well, that narrative is true, Tiki. You have not disproved that yet. Look, let's start with Anthony Volpe. So Anthony Volpe's been in the major leagues for 2 years. I'll give him credit for two things before we dive deeper. Number one, he plays every single game.
Yep.
Great. Number two, he plays Gold Glove caliber defense at shortstop. Fantastic. But over these 2 years, he has put up roughly the same stats, and those stats aren't good enough. A .657, a .666 OPS, his home runs were down, his RBIs were the same, which is 60. He stole a few bases. He's not good enough. At 24 years old, we're going to find out. Worst case scenario, he probably puts up the same garbage numbers.
Maybe the Grand Slam in the World Series that the committee remembered, maybe that upstarts him.
Maybe. There. Or maybe the fact that he's had enough experience at the major league level, he's 24 years old, and he puts it all together. My point to you guys who look at Volpe and say, hey, he's really important, is if he puts up the same numbers, you're replicating the same numbers you got out of shortstop in a year in which you scored more runs than any other team in the American League.
Mm.
So if your worst case scenario, and I do think realistically, the worst case scenario is he is just who he is and he puts up the same numbers.
Yeah.
He's just replicating last year.
You know what my challenge with all of this, and I hear this particularly in baseball discussions, people want to compare histories, whether it's recent histories or whether it's ancient histories. By that, I mean like 15, 20 years ago. And you assume that circumstances are going to be the same. So I saw this happen in 1994, and so therefore it's going to happen in 2024.
Right.
Well, that's nonsense, right? As a former professional athlete, what I did 3 years ago or someone else did 10 years ago has nothing to do with what I'm going to do tomorrow. And so I can't look at and judge this Yankees team's projection versus what happened a year ago. I just can't. I have to look at them right now and say, where are my concerns? And the concerns are, I don't know what some of these young players are going to do. You bring up Anthony Volpe. I actually consider him one of the more established because of the things that you said. Gold Glove defense. He plays every day. He's always there. He's developing into a bit more of a leader. But is he going to hit a game-winning single or home run when I need it in a critical moment of a game? I don't know. I knew that Juan Soto could. I knew that Aaron Judge could. I knew that Stanton could. And two of those three guys aren't there anymore. And so I think when you look at this Yankee team, it's not about being negative and saying they suck, because they don't. I think they're just one of everybody. And does that give them a chance to win the World Series? I don't know. Does it give them a chance to win a division? I'd say yes. So that's that's what we're talking about. You're making it seem like what Sean and I are saying is doom and gloom. It's not doom and gloom. They're just one of multiples.
Do you think they're making the playoffs, Sean? Tiki says they are. That's his opinion. What about yours?
I believe that they will find their way in, scrapping and clawing, but they will not win the division.
If they make the postseason, they have a chance to win a world championship. And at this point of a season in late March, that's the only goal. We consider and make World Series predictions. We will. We consider and make predictions on who's going on a deep run in October. Sure, we will. But all it's about is getting into the tournament. If you're in the tournament, there are a lot of factors that we can't even think of. One being Giancarlo.
Like, sure.
Maybe Giancarlo Stanton does walk through that door in the middle of October. Maybe you've acquired guys we're not even thinking of before we get to October. So as long as they're good enough to be a playoff team, you should be excited.
But
that's all that you can do right now.
Absolutely, you're right, and opening day provides that. But don't you also understand, coming from a Yankee fan perspective, how the group thing for the Yankee fan getting there is a little difficult? Because this is a different mindset. What you're laying out is what most baseball fans should have the mindset of. Yankee fans haven't lived with that mindset, as simple as a concept as it may be.
Okay, but here's where I'm kind of having an issue with you. Let's say they re-signed Juan Soto. And let's say they added Max Fried. And let's say Gerrit Cole was healthy. All these amazing things, right? You'd probably be sitting here saying, wow, we're the favorites in the American League.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Okay, when you get to the playoffs, it's the same damn tournament and starts the same damn way.
No, you're right. By the way, before Gerrit Cole's injury, before Heel's injury, before Giancarlo Stanton's double whatever elbow thing he's got going on.
Tennis
elbow. I wanted to say tendonitis, but I think it's the same thing. But whatever. Tennis elbow. I would have said the Yankees are easily... Actually, I think we did say this. The Yankees are easily the best team in the American League. Easily getting to the postseason.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Easily into the divisional round and probably right into the ACL, the American Championship Series. So that's kind of what we thought until they started getting atrocious. And then once attrition happened early in spring training, it was like, man, who's filling those voids?
Yeah.
And those answers aren't obvious.
They aren't. You're right. They went from being the team in the American League to a team in the American League.
Yes.
But the good news about being a team in the American League is you still have a chance to win the whole damn thing.
Of course you do.
You're just not the odds-on favorite that you were, say, 5 months ago. Speaking of months ago, I want to go back a month and a half. Actually, it was a little over a month and a half. February 12th, 2025, right here on the Evan and Tiki program. Spring training was beginning, and I said to you guys, boy, I got to tell you, the thing I'm most intrigued by heading into spring training is who's going to bat leadoff for the New York Yankees. And we're like, yeah, I mean, who the hell is it? So we did a whole little expose, kind of analyzing, before anything really even started in spring training, on who should lead off. So Tiki endorsed a guy. I endorsed a guy. I've always been very big on Aaron Judge leading off. Sean had a guy. We all had different guys. And as we were going through the options, I remember bringing up the Austin Wells option. But what I don't remember is what we all said about it. Now that he is the leadoff hitter, let's go all the way back to February 12th and hear what we initially thought about Wells leading off before it was even a thing. WFAN Flashback. I'll tell you another guy I thought about very briefly.
Don't say DJ.
No, not an option. I wouldn't even include him. Giancarlo and the third baseman's I threw away.
I got it.
You ready for this?
Go ahead.
Austin Wells.
I don't hate that.
Uh-huh. I don't hate Austin Wells. Now,
interesting.
He hit cleanup a little bit last year, actually had some success.
And has a little speed. He can swipe base.
He's not as slow as the perception is because he's a catcher.
We were all pretty high on it.
Yeah.
Tiki
it's
gives
just
us,
intriguing.
Tiki goes, interesting. Sean's like, I don't hate it.
We all liked it. So that means we're all good with it now, right?
Even though our initial reaction when I even threw it at you was, really? Okay, that's interesting.
Well, I wouldn't have thought of it. In fact, we were more lobbying for Austin Wells to be cleanup hitter. right? From most of last season.
Well, we didn't think, like, because again, this was before any spring training game. It was before Aaron Boone gave us any kind of answer on it. So we were literally going through everybody on the roster saying, all right, does this guy fit? Yeah. Does this guy fit? Does
and he
this
didn't
guy
do fit? It at all last year, right?
No, he hasn't, because no catcher has ever led off in the history of the New York Yankees. So when Austin Wells leads off on Thursday afternoon at Yankee Stadium, save that ticket stub. Oh, wait, they don't have ticket stubs anymore.
Keep it in that Apple wallet.
Yeah, take a picture in the Apple wallet.
The problem with that is that you can't get it signed if you ever should run into him.
Well, what if you print it out?
Yeah, I guess so, but it's just, I think, who has that kind of stock of paper?
Nah, you're right. Right.
It's just like simple, cheap paper.
It ruined the whole thing.
So I'm not a golden ticket.
Either way, Austin Wells is going to be the leadoff hitter. And much like we said a month and a half ago, I kind of stand by the whole, okay, that's interesting. Like, is it a slam dunk answer? No. To me, I always thought Aaron Judge is the easy answer. But I'm intrigued by Austin Wells. And Sean, you showed some intrigue. So it means you're kind of good with it, right?
I am good with it. Yes, after all was said and done, I am.
Yeah. So there you go. I think Austin Wells can work in this situation. One thing that's really going to help him is that his protection is Aaron Judge. So Austin Wells goes from protecting Aaron Judge when he was batting cleanup behind him to now getting protection from Aaron Judge. Obviously, when there's a lefty on the mound, things are going to be different. This is where I give Tommy Lugauer a lot of credit. Right now, it appears like Paul Goldschmidt's going to be the leadoff hitter. And when we made predictions on who will end up leading off the most, Tommy said Paul Goldschmidt. And we all laughed at him. And then we're like, wait a second, that's actually evil genius smart. And I don't know if he's going to win this, Tom. I don't know if he's going to win this, but you're in the mix, as the kids like to say.
You only got 162 games to figure it out.
Does postseason count?
I don't know if we ever clarified that. Probably not.
All right, so let's cap it at 162. He's definitely batting leadoff once.
Oh, well, Boone's confirmed it?
Yeah, so I won.
Well, you didn't win. No, the bet was who's going to lead off the most. That was the bet.
No. Sean, you have a homework assignment because I was told.
Hold, time out. I will do that. I know what was said. We talked about who would lead off the most. When he mentioned Goldschmidt, you two made a bet. Would he even lead off once?
Produce the audio.
And then Evan said, Loogie, if Goldie leads off once, you win.
I love Gold.
That definitely happened, but if Tommy cares about winning, he's going to produce the audio.
Oh, come on. You're going to make him do it? He already works hard enough. You do it.
I don't care that much. You got to do it.
No one do any of us remember what day that was.
No, I haven't written that.
No, that we have, because you just pulled this audio.
All right, give me the date.
It's actually the same day. It was February 12th at about 4 o'clock on Evan and Tiki. See how?
Oh, this will be done in 10 minutes.
Yeah, I told you. It's an easy one to pull up. Anyhow, some thoughts on the Yankee leadoff spot from Charles in Allenhurst, New Jersey. How are you, Charles?
What's up, Charles?
Yo, Evan Tiki, what's up, guys?
All's good, dude.
What's up?
All right, so if you look at all the other teams, and this is something I'm not even a Yankee fan, I'm a Met fan like you, Evan.
Yeah.
This is something Sean brought up before, which I thought was interesting. So if you look at all the other teams in baseball that are top of the league teams that you expect to do damage, like the Dodgers, Mets, Braves, Phillies, the list goes on and on, they all have dynamic leadoff hitters. Ohtani, Lindor, Acuna Jr., Schwarber. They all have these guys at the top of the order that set the tone straight with power from the top.
Great point.
And that's something I wanted the Yankees to, like, kind of go after this offseason, but they never ended up doing it. I thought that was a big hole. I thought Gleyber Torres, as mediocre as his numbers were in totality last year, he did find something in the postseason in that leadoff spot, not to the extent of the four guys I just named. But I thought that was a priority. And if you were going to replace Juan Soto, maybe there weren't great options at that position in the offseason, but I would have attacked that, because if every other team out there had that dynamic leadoff hitter, that feels like the place to start.
It's a great point, Charles. And it was actually a point I was using to back up my Judge point on leading off, that a lot of teams actually deploy their best hitter at leadoff.
But then you lose Judge in that RBI producing spot.
You're right. That's the negative to it. And these other teams, like, I'll give you a few examples of this. Obviously, Lindor, but they have Soto, they have Alonso, they have Vientos to drive him in. Ohtani, but assuming Mookie, and I'm hoping Mookie's okay. This story is very scary with him, so all the best to Mookie Betts.
Has it gotten better? Because we talked about it at the beginning of the week, and it was like 20 pounds and
it has not gotten better. I saw a video of him, too, and he doesn't look good.
He's 150.
I know. He's lost a lot of weight. It's a mystery illness he's been dealing with 2 weeks. So hopefully Mookie's going to be okay. But Ohtani leads off, and they've got Freddie Freeman and Mookie Betts and Teoscar Hernandez. They have a lot of bats. Ronald Acuna Jr., when he's healthy, leads off of the Braves. But then they have Matt Olson and Austin Riley.
But a lot of teams use their best player as their leadoff hitter. If Goldie and Bellinger produce at the levels that I think especially Goldie can, I don't think it's crazy that we're sitting here in the middle of May and I'm going to get the last laugh on this and Judge is going to lead off. And so our last caller will get what he wants in that the Yankees will have this incredibly dynamic player in the leadoff spot. So who you start as your leadoff hitter isn't necessarily the way the season ends. The Mets ended up with Lindor. He wasn't their leadoff hitter on opening day. It was Brandon Nimmo. The Dodgers ended up leading off Ohtani. He wasn't their leadoff hitter on opening day.
Yeah.
It was Mookie Betts.
Right.
Things change. And I do think there's a way that it could turn out to be Aaron Judge anyway. But to start, it's going to be Austin Wells. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, I don't see the Judge going to that spot consistently. Maybe he'll do it here and there, but I can't see Aaron Boone sacrificing the RBI production just for what this last caller was talking about. And he's right. Most of these teams do have a dynamic player, but the Yankees just don't have that roster spot. I mean, they don't have that guy on the roster.
No, I got you. We'll get back to your calls coming up at 888-808-1019, and we produce the audio of our first reaction to Austin Wells as a possible leadoff hitter. When we come back, Sean's already done the work. We will hear our actual leadoff discussion and what was said about Paul Goldschmidt and other options in the Yankee leadoff spot. Toll-free number is 888-808-1019.